If a wicked man turns away from all his sins which he has committed, and keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. For the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does the same abominable things that the wicked man does, shall he live? None of the righteous deeds which he has done shall be remembered. For the treachery of which he is guilty, and the sin he has committed, he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die for it. For the iniquity which he has committed, he shall die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed, and does what is lawful and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions which he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several days ago, I was going into a church to celebrate a funeral mass, and the parish assignments that I currently have, we have tons of funerals here. Sometimes you go day after day after day with funeral, burial, wake, funeral, burial, wake, and so on. And we experience all manner of, death, tragic deaths or deaths from old age, young people, drug overdoses, which happen a lot today, which is terrible. But, there's a lot of other people who experience death more often than I do, and that's people involved in, hospitals and doctors and nurses and military and police. And in my assignments now, though I've never experienced so much encounters with death as I have ever, really. And it's part of life on this earth, and so we kind of have to accept that, as sorrowful as it is. Anyway, I was going to this church to celebrate a funeral, and I get into the sacristy, and there were a number of people there who were preparing to help with the funeral, with serving at the mass or singing or other things, and I'm going over there and I'm preparing my sermon in my mind for the people, and then I'm thinking about offering the mass for the soul of the person who has died, and this woman in the sacristy comes up to me, and I'm thinking she's going to say something to me about the funeral. And she looks at me and she says, Father Jason, you should start dyeing your beard. And she pointed right to my beard and she said, you should start dyeing your beard because it's kind of gray and white right here. And I was kind of taken aback by that because no one has ever said that to me in my life except when I go to this funeral, I hear this statement made. And anyway, I said to her, I cannot do that. And she said, why not? And I said, I'm too young to die. Anyway, everybody in the room laughed, and it was kind of a light moment, and we went on to celebrate the funeral after that. But it was kind of a play on words. I'm too young to die, or I'm too young to lose my life in death. But if you think about it, no one is really too young to experience death, even though we say that often. Life is so fragile, and life is so short. There's all over this earth, there's so many people who, they're young, and their life is strong and sure, and all of a sudden something happens and they experience death, and it's really sad for us to encounter this. But life is so fragile and short. My mentor, Father James Flanagan, used to say that we only have about 1 hour in this world, about 1 hour. And he said this in his 90s. He said, we have about 1 hour, and then we go home to God. So we have to, in this 1 hour, do God's will. Now, the reading I read to you from the prophet Ezekiel talks about life and death. If you do good, you shall live. If you do evil and iniquity and sin, you shall die. But what the prophet is talking about is not the life and death of the body, but the life and death of the soul. You know, the body can be alive, or it can be sick, or it can be dead. Same with the soul. The soul can be alive and healthy, it can be sick, and it can be dead. Now, we do have to take care of the body. We don't want to neglect our body and, you know, end up in all kinds of health problems. I'm all for taking care of our own health. In fact, in this little studio I have, it's actually not a studio, it's my room, and right over there is a treadmill, and I like to exercise a little bit, but it's important to take care of the body because it's a gift to us from the Lord. We want to eat healthy and drink healthy and, you know, go to the doctor regularly. I was recently talking to some priest friends, some very good priests, and I was telling them how, you know, you should go to the doctor regularly, and they were kind of like not interested in the idea. And I said, you know, you should go because, you know, you could have some, you know, situation in your health that is not bothering you now, but if you don't address it, it could cause big problems later on. But the doctor could, you know, notice it right now and help you with that. And so I encourage that. And, you know, if people smoke, I tell them, look, don't smoke. It's not good for you. It's putting garbage into your body. Don't do it. The health of the body and caring for it is very important. But the life of the soul is much more important because the soul is going to be with us forever and ever. We got to care for our soul. Can you imagine what it would be like if you have your body in perfect condition? You make sure you have the best tan ever. You exercise all the time. You eat healthy. And you talk about this, which is a good thing to talk about, to tell people to take care of their health and stuff. But your soul is dead in sin. That's no good. Nope, not at all. It's really a disaster. It's terrible. In fact, notice the prophet Ezekiel says in this passage, he encourages us, turn away from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. All right, so you could have someone who physically in their body is great, but is on the path of ruin in their soul because of sin. So we have to care for the life of our soul. And the life of our soul comes to us from the grace of the Lord, from God. We need to do His will. That's what the prophet is urging us to do, to do the will of God, to turn away from sin, repent of our sins if we have sinned, and do the will of the Lord so that our soul can be alive. You remember Jesus, our Lord, in the passage about the prodigal son, the parable. The prodigal son has gone off and left his father's house and wants a life of so much freedom that is not based on truth, but it's based on just doing whatever he wants to do. And he commits all these sins, and he squanders everything that he's had, and he's destitute and desperate. And he comes to his senses, he considers his way, and he turns back to his father. It's a parable about turning back to God. In a way, that parable is pretty much what the prophet Ezekiel is talking about. The prodigal son goes back to his father. The father sees him, embraces him, and puts a robe on him and a ring on his finger and celebrates with great joy. And he says to the other son that your brother was dead and he's now alive. He's talking about the life of the soul, because that prodigal son was not dead in his body. He was a party animal. I mean, he was having a party all the time until the money ran out. And when that happened, his friends left him because they weren't real friends. They were just using him just like he was using them. And he was left dead spiritually, but his body was still alive. Well, when he goes back to the Father, when he turns away from sin and follows God, that's what Jesus is teaching, that he is alive again. That's what we have to do. We have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time, we're in the season of Lent, and Lent is a time to sort of begin again, to start over, to really examine how well we're living in our soul. Are we really following the life that God gives us in Christ, or is our soul languishing in sickness and sin and death? We got to turn to Christ for life. We value the life of the body very much. It's a gift from God, but we have to value the life of our soul even more so. There is no profit to gain everything in this 1 hour, this brief life, but lose our soul in spiritual death because of sin. People today are conscious, and they make, you know, sort of efforts to manifest this consciousness. They're conscious of the desire to live life to the full. They don't want to waste their time. If they feel like they're not living life to the full, if they're not having the fullest experience of life, they feel frustrated. If you want to live life to the full, it's a life of holiness. That's true. Who is more alive? Someone who lives like Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, or someone who lives in all kinds of sin and degradation? Who's more alive? Who's more free? Well, it's the person who follows Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, as we hear this warning from the prophet Ezekiel, this challenge, may we seek to be fully alive, not just in our body, even that life is temporary, but above all in our soul, which is an eternal life. We don't want to lose that life forever. We want to hold on to it forever. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." May we accept again and again and accept anew this gift of Jesus our Lord, the life of the soul, the life that comes from His grace. God bless you.